Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. And we have a new website. It's a 24/7 internet radio station. It's s4tjradio.com. And there's worship music and previous radio programs that are posted on an hourly basis. Top of the hour has a program, and the bottom of the hour is worship music. So I think you'll like the new radio station. Tonight, I have a good friend in the studio with me, David Williams. He's become my assistant, helping people relocate to Panama. And we also have a website. It's called BoqueteHelp.com. That's for that very purpose, for people that are looking to relocate to another nation or just inquiring what it's like here in Boquete. Also, I want to mention, too, that we are raising money for another tract order. We want to get another 100,000 chick tracts ordered sometime next month. We're shooting for between $8,000 and $10,000 to be raised by the end of this month so we can get the order in next month. We're about halfway there right now. And you can go to the homepage of strengthforthejourney.com, and you'll find a link there. That's for the address. You can make a check directly to Chick Publications with an account number that we have set up, and it'll be designated for that purpose. So, David, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You know, something that's been real heavy on my heart lately is I've subscribed to a prophetic newsletter because I want to see what people are hearing out there, what the prophetic is out there that the body of Christ is being given. And I'm a little concerned that the prophetic word that's being spoken out there is not the Lord speaking. And I believe right now we're in a time right now that all of us have to be very careful about the voices that we're listening to. And there are many voices out there that will claim to be speaking for the Lord. And we have to discern the Lord's voice in that voice. And right now, we are at a time right now when it is critical that we hear the truth. Because I look at it this way, you can't make good decisions without good information. And if there's certainly no way you're going to make good decisions with lies or not something that's not the truth. So we have to be very careful and discern the truth right now. And I know this is something that you've probably dealt with many years of your life too, discerning the voice of the prophet, whether this is truly a word from the Lord or this is not, because we can all go chasing words that aren't the Lord, and we can end up in a very wrong, very bad place.
Well, and I know for me, I grew up in a very cessationist tradition in the body of Christ, meaning that they thought that that all words of prophecy had ceased and that the Lord no longer gave revelation to his people, and that all of the gifts of the Spirit had ceased. And that was a very unfortunate thing. However, in that tradition, there was a strong emphasis on Scripture, which I have become profoundly grateful for. In moving into other streams of the body of Christ, those that are labeled prophetic and apostolic and Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, all kinds of different labels get stuck on things. What's interesting is that when people want to speak their own imaginations or fantasies, what they do is they just tack on the words Holy Spirit or Thus saith the Lord, and that's not necessarily always the case. You know, Scripture tells us that he's not a man that he should change his mind. You know, not the Son of Man. That he changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, I'm thankful for fresh perspective and fresh revelation from God, from his Holy Spirit. However, it's always going to line up with who he's always been. He's the eternal one. He doesn't change. And so,
his personality.
That's right. He simply is. He says, you know, Moses asked, well, who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. He simply is, and you're not going to change that about him. He is a rock. He's unchanging. And so, you know, what's interesting is, and we've had people come into the offices recently that are looking at Boquete, and they mention the names of some of the ministries that some of their children are involved in. And these ministries, they a lifestyle, and they promote intimacy with God, and those are all very good things, and certainly to be promoted. But then when you hear the words that come out of the mouths of their prophets, quote unquote prophets, you realize, wow, this is very self-centered. It's not glorifying God, and it doesn't line up with Scripture. And so it becomes, you know, Jesus warned about it, that this would happen in the last days. Peter warned about it. Paul warned about it. And so we're just seeing that very strongly right now.
You know, the Bible says to test the spirits to see whether they are of God, and we have to know. And, you know, one thing that I've learned is that I have to learn to eat whatever the Lord wants to feed me, whatever difficult word He wants me to receive. I have to receive it for myself. And this is some of the ways that I learned to hear His voice. It was a corrective voice. It was one that was challenging me to change me. And many of the words that I'm hearing today are not challenging words. They're not corrective words. We the whole body of Christ in many ways has walked off the path, and we've become lovers of the world rather than lovers of God. And the words that I get in the morning many days are not, you know, pat on the back words. And one of the things I wanted to read was, I went back to a word that I got on November 4th, and this was Election Day, and it came as a rebuke for those that call themselves prophets, or those that are leading people, claiming they're speaking the truth. And I wrote here, I said, this is a word that came to me this morning, and it's a rebuke to those who consider themselves prophet, given the assignments to declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Many prophetic voices are declaring peace and safety instead of the truth of what is to come. Will you not warn my people the judgment that will surely come? Today is Election Day. It is a day of decisions, a day of when choices are made. I have been waiting for my people to make a choice for me, but few are declaring the choice that must be made. The choice that must be made is to repent. My true and truthful prophets have always declared the truth to warn my people, to turn from their wicked ways, to declare that my righteousness and holiness must be revered, that I require holiness and righteousness from my people, that I will forgive them of their sin and iniquity if they will humble themselves and repent and turn back to me with their whole heart. I have given many a voice to declare the truth. Who do you fear the most, man or me? And I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. That's Luke 12, 4 and 5. If you are determined to encourage my people, encourage them to trust that every word that proceeds from my mouth is true, that I will surely perform every word. If my first disciples were not immune from my judgment, no disciple or follower of mine will be. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, no man. Humble yourself before me this day, and I will give you eye salve that you might see. Exchange what is precious to you for what is precious to me. Time is short, that it is decision day. Who will you stand before to give account of your life, man or me? Who do you fear more? If you truly desire to be an encourager, your decisions to make the right choice will encourage others to make the right choice. Time is short, it's D-Day. A day of decisions. What will it be? Pride or humility? Your righteousness or mine? Your justification or mine? It's D-Day. Do you want to exhort my people? Exhort them to repent. Exhort them to return to their first love. For the love of many has grown cold toward me. Their love for this world has replaced their love for me. Their love for the praise of man has replaced their love for my praise. Tell them to turn back to me with their whole heart, or suffer with the ungodly and the worldly. The blood of the innocent cries to the heavens for justice, and justice will be served if my people refuse to repent. Justice will be served by sword, by pestilence, by famine, and by war. No man shall escape. I am a holy and righteous God. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If my people will not raise a righteous standard, I will. It's D-Day. You have been given a voice to my people. Use that voice to tell my people to repent and turn back to me with their whole heart, and I will forgive them of their sin and their reproach. Today is the day. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. There's always been a day of decision. There was a D-Day, the day that I shut the door to the Ark of Noah and sealed the fate of those on the inside as well as those on the outside. It might not have begun to rain immediately, but the decision was made. Today is D-Day. And this is the word that I received back on the election day. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a holy and righteous God reaching out to his people to turn back to him. We have so much to repent for. I mean, he just gave us two simple commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And honestly, most of us cannot tell another that I love my fellow man as much as I love myself. We love ourselves more, honestly, and we'll take care of ourselves. We'll do anything we can to preserve ourselves. And God is trying to get us to where we'll turn our heart toward him so then he can turn our heart toward others. Because really, if we don't have his love inside of us, we don't have that love to give away to another. And I know the scripture that comes to my mind that many of these prophets right now are using out there is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3.
Well, and what's so good about what you just read is it lines up perfectly with that. Even in that word, there were the words edification and exhortation. And of course, most people are familiar with this, but 1 Corinthians 14, 3 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." And I think we've discussed a lot about how our understanding of those three words, edification, exhortation, and comfort, we have taken, I suppose, a fleshly or a, what we would like for those words to mean. But just earlier today, we sat down and we looked up just in the dictionary what those words mean. And we found for edification, the definition was the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. That's edification, the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. For exhortation, and we, you know, again, we've talked about how kind of maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, but how we, you know, we think, well, that must be something that's written on the inside of a Hallmark greeting card. That must be something that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, you know, and that's in our modern language how we use that word. But even in the dictionary, it says that exhortation is an address or communication emphatically urging someone to do something. And then the last word, comfort, you know, I'm just reminded by in Psalm 23 how David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And, you know, if we look at scripturally what a rod and a staff was used for as a shepherd, you know, Proverbs 10:13 says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." And again, that's echoed in Proverbs 26:3, where it says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools."
Well, I think when you realize how much you need God's correction, you realize it says, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son he receives." So, to David understood that God's correction was his love being demonstrated to him, and he was willing to receive that love, that correction that he needed. Because we all, you know, if we refuse correction, you know, we're not in till we end, till the Lord, we stand before the Lord, welcome, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, that's the day we're saved. We're being in the process of being saved right now, being corrected, being walking down this narrow road. And many today don't want to be corrected. And really what it is rebellion that's inside of us. And I honestly didn't see how much rebellion was inside of me until I left the United States and came here to Panama. And I feel like a heathen with the obedience, and the kids were different. I mean, it was like another world. But I realized that I needed a lot of correction. And now I feel, with the welcoming of that correction in my life, I feel the Lord in my life like I never have before, because I want to be corrected. If there's something I'm doing wrong, I don't want to be doing it wrong. I got to stand before him one day, and I want to be pleasing to him. And I think a lot of it has to do with our heart. Do we really want to please him, or we really want to please ourselves? Because we want to please ourselves, we really don't want to be corrected.
Right, right. Well, and you bring up that principle that's brought up in Hebrews 12 about chastening and chastisement, and those seem to us to be very negative words, again, because our flesh revolts at that. But at the root of that word is chaste. You know, we don't have a problem when we talk about a virgin being chaste if it's our daughter, and we both have daughters, and we take no offense whatsoever if we use that word to refer to our daughters. And the Lord wants that for us. He wants a bride without spot or wrinkle, you know, pure linen, clean and white, you know, it was given her to wear. I mean, that and that's the goal for us. And I look at repentance or if you want to look at repentance as chastening, that process that makes us chaste. If you want to call it sanctification, we have all kinds of theological terms we banter about with, and I'm not bright enough to know what they all even mean, but I do know that the Lord wants us to be chaste. I do know He wants us to be pure, and I know that requires repentance on my part, and that's going to be an ongoing, you know, we talk about sanctification being an ongoing process, and a lot of people, you know, that they, for whatever reason, grasp strongly to the once saved, always saved, principle. And I know even as I utter that I may not be in total agreement. I'm probably stepping on some toes. But Jesus said that whoever would be His disciple must daily deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow Him. So it doesn't matter if I've esteemed you more highly than myself today, if I've served you well, if you've done that for me, tomorrow's a new day, and we're going to have to, both you and I and everyone out there who would be His disciple, we're going to have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. And to the degree that we don't do that, we're lost. We're going astray.
That's right. This is a daily thing that all of us have to walk down right now, and it calls for daily obedience. And daily obedience calls for getting our assignments and knowing what the Lord wants us to do on a daily basis and really seeking His will. And I just stand in awe so many days here just watching the hand of God put together people's lives and appointments. And it's just such a nice thing when you get in that sweet spot of just knowing you're right in the middle of God's will, doing what He wants you to do. Because then every day is just a new excitement. Well, God, what's in store today? And I believe it has to do with having a heart of a servant, that when you have a heart of a servant, God will use you everywhere you are, because you're just looking for a place to serve. You're just looking for an opportunity to help somebody, wherever they may be, you know, whether it's a good Samaritan, you know, that's picking up that poor guy that got beat up on the side of the road. But He's looking for somebody that's going to go the extra mile. He's looking for the bride, like Eliezer was looking for a bride for Abraham, for his son, for Isaac. And he was looking for somebody that would not just give him water, but water his camels also. And someone who went beyond what is required. That's the extra mile that God is calling all of us to right now. Go beyond just a little bit. He wants us to go way beyond, a challenging go beyond of what is comfortable for us. And this is where many of us have to really come to the place where we are not comfortable being comfortable any longer. And I think this is, God's trying to get us out of that place of comfort. You know, many people's definition that for edification, exhortation, and comfort, it's just their excuse to stay comforted in their comfort zone. And the Lord gave me a word here not too long ago that you either leave your comfort zone or your comfort zone will leave you. Comfort zones are going away. And I woke up about 3 days ago, and I had another word, and I just want to read this as well. Man can only tell another man the truth. God must reveal it. Many have handled the word of God deceitfully for gain, because they love not the truth. These deceivers are clouds without rain, making empty promises that will never be kept. They tickle the ears of the simple-minded, too lazy to dig for the truth themselves, hearers merely looking for a free meal. The welfare state of America began with a spiritual welfare state. When America began to become a people that would rather have someone else feed them spiritually, the welfare state began. Now, 50 years later, the trough eaters have been fattened for the slaughter, and the slaughter is about to begin. Are you a welfare state recipient? Do you go to church to be fed? Are you the church that feeds others? If you're merely going to church to be fed, you are a welfare state recipient. If you aren't already full when you go to church, you'll likely eat whatever is on the menu. If you aren't already in love with the truth, a lie can be mingled with the truth, and the result will always be deception. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. The narrow road will be broadened, and before you know it, you're on a path to destruction. You won't realize your life is filled with leaven until the time of testing arrives, and by that time, your pride can be so set and hardened you can't repent. Go to the Gospels and compare the Good Shepherd's voice with your shepherd's voice. Do they sound the same, or do they sound different? Is your shepherd's voice as challenging as mine? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you find I'm not your shepherd, follow me, trust me. I will lead you to green pasture. I will lead you from your brown grass to green grass. I will feed you during the time of famine. The time of famine has already actually begun. Are you not yet hungry? If you don't hunger for the truth, a lie will satisfy. Only those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I can only feed the hungry. The full will never come to my table. You must be poor in spirit to recognize your need. Examine your life today to see if you're really mine, if you're really filled with faith and trust. You will need to be so filled with trust for the days that lie ahead and are soon to arrive. Now's the time to check the oil in your lamp, because darkness is about to arrive. Only my truth will light your path and give you the ability to see in the dark. Are you ready? Are you really ready? The darkness will arrive whether you are ready or not. So I know that we have some times that are coming that are going to be very challenging for men. And this is the time to fill. Make sure your oil is lamps are filled right now. And I believe the truth is what fills that lamp, because it has the ability to light a path in the dark because you know the truth. And many that don't know the truth, they haven't hungered for the truth, I think they're going to find themselves in a very difficult place once the darkness comes upon them. And so now's the time.
You know the scriptures say, "Awake, O sleeper," and many in the United States of America have slumbered, have fallen asleep, and not recognized the serious nature of the hour that we're in. And I forget who it was that originally said it. It might have been Tozer, but he said he believed that our job was to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And sometimes that's what it takes to wake someone up. And certainly we surely appear to be in the last days. The apostles thought 2,000 years ago that we were in the last days, and I don't know where we are on the timeline right now, but it sure seems like we're closer than we've ever been before. And there are a lot of telltale signs that Christ's return may be soon, and we look forward to that.
Yeah.
But there are some things that we need to be very aware of in the midst of that, and we are called to come out of Babylon, to flee from her and be separate, that we don't share in her sins and therefore receive her plagues. The Lord's wrath is not laid up for the righteous. And that does not mean that persecution may not take place. It does not mean that we may not suffer, but certainly the things that he brings about that represent his wrath, we are not to be recipients of that. However, if we are one with an entity that is going to receive his wrath, then we're going to feel that. It's time to take that admonition seriously. Whatever that means to you, whatever it means to come out of Babylon and be separate, if that means a physical move, it needs to start in the heart. And I think that is our heart's cry right now.
Yes, that's right. We want people to really, really examine themselves, not with the person sitting next to them on the pew in the church, but examine themselves with the Lord. And don't make excuses. One of the things the Lord said to me a while back is that true repentance offers no excuses. And I think if you look back at the people that the Lord called and they began to make excuses, whether it's coming to the wedding feast or to follow him, at once they began to make excuses. And it's really, the truth was they had no repentance in their heart. So their excuses came natural. And if you are excusing your sin or in whatever the Lord is trying to point out in your life, that it's the evidence that repentance is not there, and now's the time to repent. You know, when you're going to go to court, it said, you know, get it right before you get there with their neighbor. Don't be taken to court, because if you get there already, you know, you're likely going to be found guilty. You know, now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day not to harden our heart. When the Lord is calling us and trying to point out and expose things in our life that are not right, we can't look at the other guy and say, well, he does it, or, you know, I'm no different than him. Well, that's not what we need to be saying right now, because the Lord is calling us to a righteous and holy walk. He said to me many years ago, when I first gave my heart to him, he said, Andrew, I'm calling you to walk a holy and righteous walk before me. And my first response was, about the time that Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart fell. And I just scoffingly said, well, who's living it? And he said to me, if no one else lives it, I'm calling you to live it. And it was like he grabbed my excuse book out of my hand and threw it in the fire and said, now what? What are you going to do now? And so that was the best thing that could have happened to me back then, because I realized that there's no excuse that's going to stand before him, that we need to make sure that we get rid of all the excuses and just say, Lord, just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, strengthen me. You know, help me to do what you want me to do. My desire is to be obedient. And this is really going to have to come from our heart. We have to want it truly from our heart. It's not going to be something, an outside work that everybody else look, we appear righteous before man, because God sees upon the heart, and this is what he's dealing with right now with all of us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is not separate from a heart issue, but if our heart is right with God, then our actions will indicate that. And, you know, right now in the United States of America, when people call and they want to relocate to Panama, I always make a point of saying, look, I'm not going to coerce you or influence you. You need to do this only if the Lord is leading you. And I stand by that. But at the same time, I feel like it's such a critical moment to pay attention. If the Lord is telling you to leave the United States of America, it is becoming more and more a land of wickedness. And I would just urge you to take seriously, no matter where you go, even if you don't think that the United States of America is Sodom or Babylon, you know, Jesus told his disciples, if you're persecuted in one place, flee to another.
Yes. Well, flee to him right now. Run to
That's
his
right.
arms.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us again on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.